Welcome to Today at the 500, presented by Through Kaiser's Visor. I am Tanner Watkins, the host of Today at the 500, presented by Through Kaiser's Visor, and the president of the Open Wheels 500-mile race, welcoming you to tonight's second airing of our nightly show during the Open Wheels 500. We got things started on Sunday with opening day at the Open Wheels 500. Had 40 drivers on track taking part in the first day of practice. It was a grueling 12 hours of on-track activity that saw more than 2,000 laps turned. And I look out my window here at the Pagoda at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and we've got cars on track right now. We've got 7 hours left in today's practice. Practice runs from 3 p.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern, allowing all drivers from around the world a chance to get some laps in practice and start to prepare for not only the Open Wheels 500 on November 17th, but also qualifications weekend presented by Ag Trucking coming up this weekend. We'll have pole day on Saturday and bump day on Sunday. Final hour coverage of each day will be provided by Race Spot TV. That'll start at 5 p.m. each day. Well, just to give you a quick rundown of the leaderboard here in day two practice, Silvio Sanchez, he leads the way, a best lap of 38.733 seconds. He is quicker than AJ Burton, only by a hair. AJ was about a tenth off of Silvio's time. AJ ran a 38.858, and then two more Brazilian drivers, so that's three out of the first four are from Brazil. Thales Toledo, he ran 38.937 and was the final driver to crack the 39-second column this Tuesday of practice. And Wilson Neto, he ran 39.064. Zachary Campbell, he is the first American driver on the list so far. He is fifth on the leaderboard with a 39.104 second lap. Well, to give you an overview of the show tonight, we've got a few great guests taking part in the festivities. Bradley Walters will join us after the first commercial break. He is a driver of the number 56 Sadie Sim Autosport Dallara IR18 Honda. He's got Indy 500 top split experience here on iRacing. And Liam Quinn will follow him. He is the driver of the number 44 Team Talent Dallara IR18. He also has been a regular on the IndyCar scene for quite some time. Mike Jokum will join us. He is the host of Pit Lane Parlay, the podcast that's sponsoring the Pole Award for the Open Wheels 500-mile race this year. So we'll talk a little bit of sim racing with him, but we'll talk some real-world racing and a little bit on the news, which you surely heard of yesterday, where Penske Corporation bought out Holman & Company. That won't be the last time we mention that on this show. And to close us out today, we'll have Joe Branch, the driver of the number 20 Ludicrous Speed Dallara IR18 Honda. He will join us. He's also the owner of the Mylaps Indy Elite Series, currently running their fall championship. And OpenWheels.com provides coverage of the Mylaps Indy Elite Series, both their fall championship and their spring-summer championship that they will have in 2020. So that's a little bit of a rundown of our guests. And let's go to the lead story, at least in the real world. Yesterday, news broke early in the morning that Penske Corporation had bought Holman & Company, and most importantly, its assets, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the NTT IndyCar Series, and IMS Productions, the production company that makes the produces the broadcast for all IndyCar races that you see on NBC Sports now. Obviously, some big news. That's a lot to unpack. We heard Roger Penske, Tony George, and Mark Miles all speak at the Speedway yesterday in a press conference at around 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It was interesting to hear the quotes from mostly Tony George, I thought. It was quite telling of the situation, and it gave a little bit more insight as to how we got here and why something like this happened. I think a lot of people were surprised to read the news yesterday morning. myself included, and this was something that was really kept under wraps very well by the PR staff at IndyCar and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and Holman and Company as a whole. Tony George was the one who kind of gave a little bit of insight on how the deal all came together. He approached Roger Penske at the season finale at Laguna Seca this year, and that was about seven, eight weeks ago, and that was the first time that they spoke about Penske assuming what they called stewardship of Holman & Company, which includes the aforementioned assets. So this is something that came together rather quickly, and again, it's a lot to unpack. Will it be better or worse for the Indy 500, IndyCar as a whole? That's something we can't really know at this time. It'll take time to fully understand the impact of yesterday's news, and really once this deal becomes formal, which is anticipated in January, again, it's not going to be months where this will be essentially judged, and the move of Penske taking over the IndyCar empire, this is going to take years to really understand what the Penske legacy at Indianapolis will become. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the Holman George family for 74 years of excellent oversight or overseeing the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and all the assets that are connected to Holman and Company, including IMS, the Indy 500, and IndyCar. The staff at IMS in particular, I've been very thankful to work with some folks there, especially in their media department. I'm honored to have been part of the last two Indy 500s as a media member, and I have nothing but good things to say about the Holman George family. Coming back to Penske taking the reins, I saw some shock factor, some skepticism on social media yesterday. And I'd like to say, you know, one thing is for certain. If the Holman George family themselves had these internal conversations, and we heard Tony George yesterday say it himself, that the family thought that they had taken this being the Speedway and IndyCar, they felt that they had taken it as far as they possibly could, and that the Holman George family had gotten everything out of IMS and IndyCar that they could after 74 years. Who are we to second guess them? And to bring in somebody like Roger Penske, this is a guy with, I believe, 18 Indianapolis 500 victories. He knows how important this place is. And I think it was Jake Query last night sent out a tweet. He said, "Well, if anybody was to ever buy Christmas, I would hope it would be Santa." I think that's similar to what we're doing right here with Roger Penske's passion for open-wheel racing and the Indianapolis 500 in particular. I think the Speedway, IndyCar, and the sport as a whole are definitely in good hands. And I look forward to hopefully another 74 years of consecutive ownership, this time for the Penske Corporation. Do you live in Southern Illinois? Are you looking for a new insurance agency to protect all that you love and work hard for? If so, then visit Doug Raber at his Albion State Farm office on 15 North 5th Street, or give him a call at 618-445-2012. We'll be right back in a little bit. This is Today at the 500, presented by Through Kaiser's Visor. We'll talk to Bradley Walters and Liam Quinn right here on the Open Wheels Radio Network.
It can start your car's engine from Barcelona. It can take you to that restaurant no one's ever heard of.
Turn left on Culver Road.
It can rotate your tires, change your oil, and even send you an email when your tire pressure's low. This is Cadillac Shield. The most comprehensive suite of ownership benefits offered by any luxury automaker in the world. From impressive warranties and premium care maintenance to navigation, email alerts, your own mobile app, and more. Leaving you to wonder, what doesn't it do?
Teleportation mode initiated.
Well, not yet. Cadillac Shield, the new standard of luxury ownership.
To learn more about Cadillac Shield, go to Cadillac.com/Shield. Premium care maintenance is standard on all 2011 and newer Cadillac vehicles for 4 years or 50,000 miles, whichever comes first. All Cadillac models come with 1 year of OnStar service. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. Compatible mobile device required.
Morning face. You get it when you don't sleep well. This is what happened to Linda.
Morning, guys.
Good morning. Ah, what is that thing?
It's me, Linda.
Oh, my God, it talks! Run!
No, it's me, Linda, from HR.
It looks hungry! Save the children! Save them! Stay back! I've got mace!
Ow! That went in my eyes!
Quit moving!
It's called beauty sleep for a reason. And there's never been a better time to get some.
Get 20% off IKEA Sultan mattresses. IKEA. Love your home.
D. Patrick Honda has been helping kids organizations for years with the D. Patrick Honda Helping Kids program. This year, consider helping some of the many local children's charities D. Patrick Honda supports in our community. This is the perfect opportunity to help organizations who make an impact in local children's lives. Nominate your favorite organization at dpathonda.com/helpingkids and help us continue to support local children with the Honda Helping Kids program.
Welcome back to Today at the 500, presented by Through Kaiser's Visor.
It's just me, you, in this room right now.
A little Alicia Keys bringing us back on this Tuesday night, day two at the Open Wheels 500-mile race presented by Mitchell Transmissions. There are no cars on track that I can see at this moment. We have had less drivers on track tonight. Compared to day one, opening day, but still creeping up on that number of 40 that we had on opening day. Now one track rolls by the pagoda here. It's Wilson Neto. He's run the most laps of any driver today. Wilson has logged 246 laps in today's practice. He ran 249 on Sunday. There is an award for running the most laps during the month of November, and Wilson's certainly gunning for it. Silvio Sanchez continues to lead today's leaderboard, 38.733 seconds, his quickest lap. A.J. Burton, second, 38.858, and Thales Toledo, 38.937, the only drivers to go faster than 39 seconds. Well, we got a special guest coming on here, about to move him into the studio, and it is Bradley Walters, driver of the number 56 Sadie Sim Autosport Dallara IR18 Honda. Bradley, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, Tanner. How you doing? Thanks for having me, man.
Doing great, man. It's a pleasure to have you on, a veteran of the iRacing IndyCar community. Looking ahead to qualifying weekend, we'll jump right into it. Talk a bit about your team's prep so far. And how are things looking for qualifications weekend presented by AG Trucking?
So when you announced that you were going to do this, there was obviously a ton of excitement on the team, and it was, you know, circled on the calendar pretty quickly. And, you know, there was some debate on what kind of car we were running because we weren't entirely sure, you know, what a DW12 was going to be like with kind of all the exploits that we were running when we were running that. But we kind of decided pretty quick that we were going to be looking at the IR18, and we kind of sat on it a little bit and really didn't get into doing the work. And when I kind of got around to digging in and doing some work on the Q set, started to sweat. And I'll be honest, you know, sitting here a week out, we're sweating a little bit for sure.
Now you guys were highly successful. I believe it was 2018, the last year that I ran the iRacing Indy 500. The first year that the IR18 came onto the service here on iRacing, you guys had a pretty good handle on it. What's kind of changed? I know the track and the way that the track surface heats up on iRacing, that's been a curveball recently. But what's been the biggest obstacle really for you guys since pretty much May of 2018?
Yeah, you know, the difference between qual and race, you know, can vary quite a bit. But, you know, talking specifically about qualifying, the 2019, I think the track changes and the temperature changes posed a little bit of a challenge. So we had to kind of cool down the car a little bit from what we were running the year before. And I think what I underestimated going into preparing for this event is the extra lap and a couple degrees like really makes a difference. And we started to realize when I kind of got into working on initial setup, started to realize that like we really had a three lap two corner car for May this year, and he just kind of hung on the last two corners. And when you add another lap to that and you're dealing with a slightly higher temperature, like you have to make some sacrifices, and we haven't really, I don't think we've really compensated for getting some speed back that we might have lost to get the car to stick around.
Now, Bradley, you're a regular in the My Laps Indy Elite series, a series that we've recently started covering on iRace or on OpenWheels.com. I'm sorry. It's been a little bit of an up and down season for you on that series. Kind of talk about your season so far in the Indy Elite series and what you guys are trying to tinker with as you get to the last few rounds of that championship.
It's been a difficult season for the team as a whole. I would say last season, the last year or so, we've fared a little bit better as a team. I've never had success there. Like, I'm not the greatest of drivers, I'll say. I really prefer to kind of be in the garage doing setup work. And, that said, though, I mean, we grabbed our first victory this year at Texas with Dave Adams. So that was a good result. We felt like we've had some good cars. I think we've had some race winning cars, but that's debatable. It's a really strong field. We had decent cars, and our results probably don't show as good as our cars are, but it's the season that we've had. We'll just kind of move forward and focus forward and kind of see what we can do for the remainder of it.
Yeah. You mentioned Dave, he broke through for that victory at Texas. He's been one of my favorites to talk to recently in the build-up to this Open Wheels 500. You know, what's his addition to your team meant for Sadie Sim Autosport?
Dave's fantastic. Like, I feel like he was kind of a diamond in the rough. Nobody was really paying attention to him. We saw him running open all the time. He was running. If there was a race running, he was probably in it, and we saw him in practice. And that's kind of like with who we want to work with, we tend to kind of gravitate towards people that we see kind of putting in time. Our success kind of is dictated by how much time we put in, and Dave was clearly somebody who was putting in the time. Get him on the team it's been fantastic. Like, he's super consistent. A strong runner. If you give him a good car, he's going to be contending. And he's going to work his way through the field. So, it's been a great addition. Love having him on board.
So coming back to racing here at Indianapolis, you certainly get enough laps here in May, and then now we're kind of doubling down halfway in between the Indy 500 each year. You know, you've been close to breaking through in a couple of these 500-mile races at IMS, whether it's the iRacing Indy 500 or in other prominent series on the sim. What's it going to take for you personally and for the team as a whole to kind of get over that hump and break through for one of these major 500 victories?
For me personally, like, I feel like I'm kind of fighting above my weight class a little bit in most of these races. I mean, the guys that I'm racing against, heads and shoulders above me in talent. And I've had, like you mentioned in the past, like I've had some situations work out that I was kind of in contention at the end. And usually it comes down to some sort of a mistake that I make on my part. And it's tough because you don't get a lot of opportunities to be in that position. So to throw any of them away, you know, and I've thrown a couple, it's really frustrating. So, I would say like it really would just take the luck of being there, you know, for most of the race and at the end being in contention, and then really just not making mistakes, you know, mistakes that have kind of plagued me in the past.
Well, we got about 1 minute left here, Bradley. I know that your prominent sponsor was Sadie Sim Autosport for quite a little bit now, has been Redline Ace. Would you like to talk about them at all?
Yeah, for sure. Redline Ace is a apparel and design company out of Speedway, Indiana. And if you go to their website, they have a lot of kind of ready to buy just off the shelf, kind of custom design apparel, t-shirts, things like that, all kind of geared around motorsports. Ben Porter, who runs it, is a huge motorsports fan and is a designer that works kind of in the motorsports industry. So they're not just an apparel company, but they do a lot of brand and identity for racers and motorsports people. So yeah, if you're, you know, looking for some nice t-shirts or you're looking for some kind of identity work, reach out to them and check them out for sure.
All right, folks, that's Bradley Walters, driver of the number 56 Sadie Sim Autosport Dallara IR18 Honda. He'll be gunning for a spot in this year's Open Wheels 500-mile race this weekend. Bradley, thanks so much for coming on, man. Definitely appreciate it.
Tanner, thank you for everything you do, man. Thank you. Sincerely.
No problem. Thanks a lot, man. Okay, that was Bradley Walters. We're going to have another driver come on in here. Let me bring him on into the studio, and it's Liam Quinn, driver of the number 44 Team Talent Dallara IR18 Chevrolet, calling in from the UK. Liam, thanks for staying up with us tonight, man.
The pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me.
So you've been out a little bit. I'm not sure if I don't think you've been out on track yet today. Kind of give us your initial impressions of preparing for this year's Open Wheels 500-mile race.
I just came back in. I did a quick full stint just to get things going, really. Preparation's going pretty well, I think. But the field's extremely close again this year. I mean, it's no surprise there, is there? It's good to get a feel just what the tyres are doing, what the car's doing, you know, what's good on your own, what's good in traffic, that kind of thing.
So, Liam, talking about Team Talent, I've been thankful to be close to this group for a little while now. Yourself, Niall McBride, Austin Espity in there every once in a while, Josh Chin. I mean, all the guys associated with that team, such a potent team in itself. You mentioned the very talented entry list, but working with a group of guys like that, how has that sort of taken your experience with iRacing and competing on the sim and moved it forward in the last, you know, year and a half or so?
Oh, it really helps. I mean, we're not here to participate, really. So when someone like Josh, he kind of expects a certain level from you. So you have to step up and you have no choice. You have to practice. You have to develop the car. You have to practice certain situations and be ready for the race, because it's very hard to go 500 miles on your own. I mean, it can be done, but winning is very difficult.
Yeah, and you talk about Josh Chin and the expectations. Really, when you look back to when you first started on iRacing, you're one of the veterans now in this iRacing IndyCar community. For you, how are you a different and a better driver than when you started iRacing? What's changed for you the most?
I mean, I'm European, so we're more road-leaning, and all I knew was road, so when I came into the IndyCar community, I had no idea about ovals. I was basically a rookie. So I had to kind of learn my way through by racing. And it's taken, 5 years to feel semi-competent? But I'm getting there now, so that's the main.
You talk about picking up oval racing. What person along the way has sort of been your greatest help in running the ovals? I know I can look back to a particular point where in my first year on iRacing, Christopher DeMeritt was very gracious in helping me understand, you know, the setups as well as the overall racecraft of racing on iRacing, and in particular the ovals. Is there anybody that stands out that's really kind of helped the expedite that process a little bit? Because I know it's not easy.
No, you're right. Yeah, probably for me, because my first couple years I joined Powerslide, and it's probably gonna be Andrew, Mr. Kinsella. So as we kind of joined around about the same time, and his expertise is far more higher on ovals, so I learned quite a lot, you know, practicing with him, developing with him, racing with him. So it really helps. And now I feel like I've got a decent baseline that I can push on myself.
I talked to Bradley about this a little while ago. He's also a participant in the MyLaps Indy Elite Series. That season is about two-thirds of the way complete now. What are your kind of thoughts on your performance in the MyLaps Indy Elite Series to this point? As we just got a few races left in that championship, where can you guys kind of build on in order to finish that season strong before they start up again with a spring-summer season?
I mean, me personally, I'm having a shocking season. I think I'm down in 33rd, something like that. So finishing a race top 20 will be an advantage right now. So, but it's good practice, you know, at the end of the day. We don't just go in there blind. So you practice, and that pushes you on the long term. And that's what you got to think about when you're having a bad run like this. You just got to think, okay, next race, don't worry about it. And if you can help your teammates spotting, crew chiefing, making them set up, etc., then that's a win for us, I think.
Yeah, you talk about practice. One thing that a lot of drivers have been focused on that we've had on the show thus far is preparation for the 17th Open Wheels 500-mile race coming up in less than 2 weeks. We've got qualifications weekend this weekend. Looking for you a little bit past qualifying, you guys likely will be pretty safe into the field, but how do you kind of get over the hump and win one of these 500-mile races on iRacing? You've had some success with a couple top split top 10s in the iRacing Indy 500, but what would it take for you personally to kind of wrap one of these up and take home a crown?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's hard to say. You need a lot of luck. You need things to go your way. You need to not be caught up in a certain instance. But, you know, we've got two winners in our group, in Josh and Austin. We've got Jeff, who just constantly gets top five. So you can kind of lean on them. You can do what they do and push yourself forward and get in those positions there. The luck falls your way, because it's much easier to be lucky if you're in fourth place, third place on a restart. So that's what we got to do. Just get in the right positions at the right time and win that race.
Completely understandable. Kind of wrapping things up, a little bit of a fun question, Liam. I got to meet you personally. I got to meet Niall McBride personally and Christopher DeMeritt at this year's real life Indianapolis 500-mile race. I believe it was your first time attending the greatest spectacle in racing. Kind of give us your thoughts. How was that trip and everything that kind of encapsulated that, with not only the on-track action, but we had a lot of raining and stuff like that. How was your Indy 500 experience for the first time this past May?
Oh, I got warned about the weather, but I don't think I was ready for it. It definitely is changeable. That's what I'm putting it. But yeah, it's fantastic. It's a long way to come, but I mean, realistically, when you compare the cost to like a European F1 race, it's not that bad at all, actually. And there's nothing like it. There really is nothing like it. Especially when you're standing, you know. Oh, it's beyond.
Liam, real quick, is there anybody, equipment that you run or something you'd like to promote? Got about 1 minute here. Any sponsors that have helped you get to this point in your sim racing career?
Oh, our car is very barren. I think we have an open wheel sticker on the front. But yeah, I'd like to thank all the guys at Team Talent. It's obviously, you know, I think we're doing pretty well at the moment. And then also my other team, Kinetic Racing, they really helped me get really competitive this year. And they take things really seriously, endurance racing, etc. And it's a new skill set I'm trying to develop. And it's really pushing me on competitively.
All right, that's Liam Quinn, driver of the number 44 Team Talent Dallara IR18 Chevrolet. Liam, thanks so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. And best of luck in qualifying this weekend and the rest of the event.
Thanks, man. Polar bust.
Polar bust, that's right. All right, guys, that was Liam Quinn. We have been happy to have some A-plus named drivers join us on the show to this point. Coming up in our next segment, it'll be Mike Jokum, host of the Pit Lane Parlay podcast. Pit Lane Parlay is the sponsor of the Open Wheels 500-mile race pole award this year that'll offer $100 to the quickest driver at the end of Saturday qualifications. That's on this Saturday, November the 9th. So we're excited to get qualifications weekend presented by Ag Trucking here and underway. We'll talk to Mike himself when we come back from this break. We're going to talk real life IndyCar racing. We'll talk a little bit of sim racing and his reasoning for sponsoring the pull award for this year's Open Wheels 500-mile race. And excited to bring Mike on. He's been completely supportive of openwheels.com. We kind of got into the IndyCar industry at about the same time, so it'll be fantastic to chat with him. Derek Spear Designs offers an assortment of sim racing products ranging from button boxes, wheel plates and adapters, sequential shifters and extended wheel paddles, plus a host of other goodies. With a background in sim racing of over 20 years in length, Derek Spear Designs understands the industry, and his expertise contributes to the incredible attention to detail and quality in his products. To learn more about Derek Spear Designs and the products they have to offer, please visit the company's website at DerekSpearDesigns.com and tell them Open Wheels sent you. We'll be right back on Today at the 500 on the Open Wheels Radio Network.
Hi, Tom Baudet checking out all the social media bragging. Well, there's too many selfies girl, mountain climbing enthusiast guy, and ex-cheerleader showing off her new pom-poms. Well, if you really want to show off, stay at Motel 6. You won't pay for frills and you'll have more to spend on thrills. Then share the fun stuff you do on social media with hashtag thrills not frills. Bet you get way more likes than food picture guy. I'm Tom Baudet for Motel 6 and we'll leave the light on for you.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Oh boy, it's back.
Bring it on, winter. Let's see. Cold weather clothing ready? Check. Car winterized? Check. And our furnace? I called Connors. Check.
More people call Connors for plumbing, heating, air, and drain needs than any other company in our area. You should too. Keep your family warm, safe, and comfortable this winter. Get your furnace tuned up. Schedule online at callconnors.com.
Winter's here. So how do you cope with a tough winter cold? Listen to Dennis Andrews.
When I feel terrible, I want something that's going to work quick. Alka-Seltzer Plus clears up my congestion, the pounding in my head, the runny nose. I hate the runny nose, the watery eyes.
That's Dennis Andrews for Alka-Seltzer Plus cold medicine.
It's a lifesaver for me because it gives me what I want. I want to feel good and I want to look good. And I stick with something that works.
Alka-Seltzer Plus cold medicine. Fast, effective relief for tough winter colds. Use as directed.
Welcome back to Today at the 500, presented by Through Kaiser's Visor. It's been a great show so far. Bradley Walters, Liam Quinn just joined us. A couple of drivers with top split iRacing Indy 500 experience. So we're happy to have them on. Just about 6.5 hours remaining in practice today for the Open Wheels 500-mile race, day two of practice at the Open Wheels 500. Silvio Sanchez, he continues to lead. 38.733 seconds, his best lap. And we're about to bring in a special guest that I've been pretty excited to speak with here. He's a good friend of mine in the IndyCar community. It's Mike Jokum, host of the Pit Lane Parlay podcast. Mike, how you doing, man? Hey, Mike, can you come on in, man? It's a little spotty. All right, we're gonna try to move Mike around a little bit here. Move him back into the lounge. A little bit of technical difficulties getting Mike on. And we're bringing it back on. Mike, you got me?
Here. Hey.
Just a little spotty, cutting in and out.
Let me.
All right, still cutting out a little bit. It is a live production here, part of it.
Give me, and I'll try right here.
And Mike's going to give it a shot, coming back here with a little bit different setup. Still got a couple cars on track right now. AJ Burton is second on the time charts, 38.858 seconds. Dallas Toledo, 38.937. And Wilson Neto, 39.064. So three Brazilian drivers in the top four currently. Zachary Campbell, he's the first American driver on the list right now. The Georgia native, 39.104 is his best lap. So we're going to let Mike give him a few more moments to sort things out there, see what happens. As you hear a car buzz by our tower here. And we're going to try to bring Mike into the studio one more time. And Mike, you got me, man?
Yeah, can you hear me, man?
I can hear you now. I got you.
For some reason, I tried to use my fancy podcast setup, and it just wasn't working for me.
That happens. I mean, it happens to the best of us, man. Hey, I'm really thankful to have you on tonight. I was saying at the intro, you and I kind of came into the IndyCar coverage scene at about the same time. One of my good friends in the industry.
Yeah.
First and foremost, how you doing tonight, man?
I have to be honest, man. I'm exhausted. I'm running on about 3 hours of sleep from editing our special Penske episode. But I'm happy to be here, and I'm just trying to trudge through a couple hours of work and do it all over again tomorrow.
I hear that. Well, one thing that certainly set you back on sleep was yesterday's announcement. What's your take on Penske Corporation buying out Holman and Company, and what that means for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indianapolis 500, and IndyCar as a whole?
Yeah, you're not kidding that it changed things. Editing audio at 2 a.m. is pretty complicated when you're trying to keep your eyes open. But in terms of the announcement, wow, it was one hell of a way to start a Monday. I woke up to, 15 or 20 text messages, and that was just the beginning. I think it's fantastic. Roger Penske is such a smart dude from a business perspective, from a race team perspective. I mean, look at it. The dude's in every championship battle across the world right now, I guess, except F1. So, I mean, if you're just looking at it from purely that perspective, he's hitting a home run. And IndyCar, IMS, IMS Productions, and all of its assets, and the fact that he's going to walk every inch of the speedway and you know, he spent 45 minutes on the phone with Marco and I'm sure other drivers today. He's going to leave no stone unturned to make sure that IndyCar is, you know, doing the best it can.
So Mike, coming back to kind of the real world coverage, a lot's obviously happened already in the IndyCar off season. One thing in particular that, honestly, Aero McLaren SP, they have to be thrilled that this bombshell announcement came out to kind of take some heat off of the flack they were receiving for letting popular driver James Hinchcliffe go. Looking at James in particular before we get into anything else, what do you feel is the most realistic option for him moving forward in 2020?
So before I hit that, isn't it funny that that announcement came yesterday? Everybody forgot about McLaren, and nobody cared that Kyle Busch is racing in the Rolex 24.
None at all.
Nobody's even talking about it. With that being said, man, I kind of see a part-time Hinchcliffe role in 2020. I know some people are saying Andretti. I just don't see it. I think it's more likely it's a Ray Hall partnership in some sort if he can get a decent amount of money. I'm sure AJ Foyt would be glad to have him. You know, Chip Ganassi said he would have him. But I just don't know how much money he has, and I think that's going to hold him back, at least in the short term.
Yeah, I'm of a similar opinion. I think it's more so Ray Hall, and if that doesn't work out, then I don't see why a few races with Coyne couldn't work out either. That's been a team that, you know, if you're going to run a short schedule, obviously you want to run the 500, and they've been increasingly better on the ovals. Obviously, they're a Honda team, so that's somewhat important because I think that's where Hinch begins with whenever he's looking for sponsorship money. And then that's a team that you would hope could run a third car for maybe the race in Toronto, which is obviously very important to not only Hinch, but Honda Canada, which he also represents. Looking ahead to the rest of the IndyCar offseason, obviously we're not waiting on the edge of our seat for any schedule announcements, kind of like we were last year. But just looking at some guys like, you know, Tony Kanaan, that's a guy that haven't heard much on him. We expect he's going to be at Foyt. You know, what are some other rumblings that you're hearing out there that might be of interest to our listeners?
So I know Connor Daly has more money than he's had before. What that means is, you know, pretty much up to interpretation, but you'd think he could get a part-time ride, maybe. I can pretty much guarantee you he won't go back to Foyt. I think Ed Jones is an interesting fit for Foyt and kind of, you know, get back the momentum he's lost over the past 2 years. I guess the big one is Rinus VK's big sponsor, was it Jumbo or Yumbo? However they say it over in the Netherlands. I can't give away a ton right now, but the source I talked to yesterday said they're giving him mega money. So I'll leave it at that for now, and I'm sure the next time we talk I can give you some more information on that one.
Certainly, yeah. Rainus has been one of the most sought-after prospects since the Indy Lights season ended, perhaps even more so than the Indy Lights champion Oliver Askew, because it was assumed for a while that Askew was sort of off the market and Andretti would try to hang on to him, and then the script flipped just as quickly, and he ended up at McLaren. Moving on to a little bit of sim racing talk. We won't go too long because we have a little bit shorter window now, but I mentioned at the outset of our broadcast tonight, you're the sponsor of the Pit Lane Parlay Pole Award here at the Open Wheels 500-mile race. Could you just kind of talk about your reasoning for contributing to this year's prize pool and why you wanted to support that for these drivers?
Yeah, so, you know, from purely a pole day perspective, I think it's, you know, the most exciting weekend of the real IndyCar season. So in terms of sim racing, it, you know, I would take the same outlook on it. You know, you've got, I can't even remember how many drivers you have, a ton, all going for the pole award and the money that comes with it. And, you know, I love everything you've done to set it up, and I just thought it was a great cause, and I was very excited to contribute in some way.
Well, I appreciate you jumping on board, man. I know that, like I said before, we've been friends for quite some time in the industry. These last couple of years have been a great time for us to bounce things off of each other as we kind of feel our way through the IndyCar media realm. Turning our attention to Pit Lane Parlay, we got about a minute left here. What's some cool stuff that you can share about Pit Lane Parlay and what you guys are doing, not only in this off season, but what do you have planned for 2020 that could get people interested?
And we're about a week away from making, I guess, our silly season announcements. But, you know, last year we did the partnership with Harding Steinbrenner. I can say that that's going to continue with another team next year, and also a Road to Indy team that covers all three levels, all the way down to USF 2000. So we'll have tons of content coming this year in addition to our regular weekly episodes. So, you know, listen, every week you're going to get multiple interviews when there's a race, and there's some other goodies that I can't quite say yet because they haven't been signed on the dotted line, but you might you're going to see us at every track this year. That much I promise. We've already booked ourselves for all 17 races and everything in the month of May.
That's fantastic to hear, man. I understand. Can't give it all away, and I'm looking forward to those announcements.
I wish I could.
no problem at all, man. I completely understand. Finally, closing things out, where can people listen to Pit Lane Parlay and stay connected to what you guys are working on?
Yeah, so our
social media is, you know, all of it is at Pit Lane Parlay, P-A-R-L-E-Y, across the board, no matter what social media channel. I'm in the process of actually making us our own subreddit, so for everybody out there that loves the Reddit world, we can join there too. There's also a Facebook group called Pit Lane Parlay Fans, which is you know, pretty, you know, chatter friendly, and we take fan questions on all social media for every one of our episodes. And then if you want to listen, we're on anywhere you can listen to a podcast: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. There's a lot of cool other podcast apps like Overcast that you could download and listen. I think most of our episodes are on YouTube without video as well. So pretty much anywhere, you know, if you just put in your app store podcast and download it, you can find our show.
Fantastic. Folks, that's Mike Jokum, host of the Pit Lane Parlay podcast. Mike, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. Wish you the best in this IndyCar silly season. I know we're probably going to get a couple punches upside the head again before it's all over like we did yesterday, but it's a lot of fun, and that's why we do it, right?
I'm here
for the lack of sleep and the excitement to, you know, make sure that all the fans out there, you know, really understand everything that's going on and can enjoy it.
All right. Mike Jokum, host of the Pit Lane Parlay podcast. Thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That's Mike. We're going to head on out. Quick reading here. The Pit Lane Parlay podcast, who we just talked to, Mike, he's the host. Pit Lane Parlay is your number one stop for interviews with fan favorite IndyCar series drivers and personnel, IndyCar news discussions, and debates. Pit Lane Parlay brings you the absolute best racing content each week and can be found on popular podcast sites such as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and even iHeartRadio and Spotify. You're listening to Today at the 500 presented by Through Kaiser's Visor. Our final segment coming up next. Stay tuned on the Open Wheels Radio Network.
Wherever you turn, May is in the air. On shirts, on socks, on skin. The ritual calls,
and we've been answering since 1911. Where racing legends become household names. We welcome the world to our city, from Monument Circle to Gasoline Alley. We test our limits and discover what we're made of. We start new traditions with old friends and join 300,000 fans screaming over 700 horsepower engines. We're 33 drivers dreaming black and white and battle 240 miles per hour to make it a reality. Fans start their engines for a month-long celebration of barbecues, bass drops, and breakneck speeds. And no matter how you may, there's no place else you'd rather be. From porches to podiums, from 5-1 to the 500.
Can't believe it, man! I cannot believe it!
This is Indy. This is May.
We could have tuned the performance suspension of the Cadillac CTS Sport Sedan on any closed course. But we chose the tight, punishing turns of Germany's legendary Nürburgring instead. Because at Cadillac, we don't just take corners. We take on the world. With a car Motor Trend calls a bold, savvy, uncompromising showpiece, and that Edmunds.com elevates to top-tier status. The exhilarating Cadillac CTS Sport Sedan, now with premium care maintenance standard for 4 years or 50,000 miles. We don't just make luxury cars, we make Cadillacs.
And welcome back to Today at the 500, presented by Through Kaiser's Visor. Just got done with Mike Jokum, host of the Pit Lane Parlay podcast. Great time talking to Mike. Got to talk a little bit of IndyCar, which is always fun. 6 hours remaining in practice tonight. We'll close out with some final results after we get done talking to Joe Branch. And we'll get Joe on the program here. Joe Branch is the driver of the number 20 Ludicrous Speed Dallara IR18 Honda from Indiana. Joe, welcome to the program, man.
How's it going?
It's going great, dude. We've had a great day of practice here at the Open Wheels 500. Been working through the news in the real-life IndyCar world. And we'll get right into your interview tonight. Joe, I mentioned on the outset of tonight's broadcast, you're the owner of the MyLaps Indy Elite Series. First and foremost, how is the fall championship going?
It's going good. We've had a lot of cautions. So as a league owner, you always strive to clean it up a little bit. But I think we've kind of put some good systems into place, and I think all the drivers are appreciating it. And I mean, it's fun. We have 33 drivers show up night in, night out. 33 drivers at Richmond, Mid Ohio, halfway through the season. Like, this doesn't happen in a lot of leagues. So I mean, that's exciting to have that kind of support. And with that many competitive cars, always comes some contact and conflict. So yeah, we'll work through it.
Joe, you talk about the high car counts, and I've been thankful to kind of watch the Indy Elite Series grow, at least from my time on iRacing, into the bustling series that it is today with, like you said, so much participation and so much talent on the track. What's it meant for you to kind of watch sort of your baby kind of grow into this proud product that it is now?
Yeah, you put a lot into it, and you come up with a thought, originally, which it's developed exactly what I kind of wanted it to be when I first kind of brought up the idea up to everybody. But I don't think I ever expected it to take the life on it that it did. I never expected to have the sponsors' interest. I never expected to have every race broadcasted. So that stuff has just came with great support, great people and friends, and just people that are wanting to have fun and take it somewhat serious.
Joe, we talk about the partners that have come on with the Indy Elite Series. One of those being our website, openwheels.com. We offer coverage of the MileApps Indy Elite Series, both the Fall Championship, which is going on now, but also the 2020 Championship. Could you tell us a little bit more about when the 2020 Championship will get underway and what dates that might consume?
Yeah, we're going to it's going to be a quick turnaround. So we're going to start in January, early January for the spring season. And then the championship race will be the fifth annual, which is crazy to say, Indy 500 next May. So the first Sunday of May is always our Indy 500, kicks off the month for seemingly everybody. And that's the marquee event.
So shifting gears now, you're a driver, not just a series owner. You're entered into this year's Open Wheels 500-mile race as the driver of the number 20 Ludicrous Speed Dallara IR18 Honda. We're talking to Joe Branch right now. You've started multiple top split 500s before, that's being iRacing Indy 500s. What are you doing daily to make sure that you're a part of this year's inaugural Open Wheels 500-mile race with qualifications weekend looming large in just a few days?
I've been trying to run some laps. I've ran a lot offline so I can have a clear track and keep trying different things, taking big swings at it. Our team has been really solid on short tracks. The big tracks we've always struggled in the IR18, so making the field would be a huge accomplishment at this point. And I have no idea where we stand at the moment, but we're definitely trying.
Now, I believe your teammate is Joe Flanagan. You run with him. What kind of dynamic do you guys have working together, and how do you work off of each other to get the most out of the team possible?
We work together a lot. Tim Doyle and Niles Anders. Niles is our setup guru, so he helps put everything together for us. It makes things very interesting. We're just really, we're a team of multiple different facets. I'm definitely not the setup guy. I've been doing it a long time, so I can give good feedback and I can make some small changes, but the big swings I leave to those guys. I'd say Flanagan's probably the same, and Doyle is as much of a veteran as there is, so he definitely knows what the car needs. And then, yeah, we all just try to work together, and we've always been kind of smaller teams compared to some of the other ones, but we definitely can find some good results at times.
So I know you mentioned just making the race would be an accomplishment with quite the loaded entry list that we've got. Really, aside from that, you know, you get into the race, let's say, what are your expectations? I know you've been close and knocking on the door for some breakthrough results at 500-mile races at Indianapolis. If you get to the race, what kind are you expecting?
If I get to the race, I feel like I can win it from any position. So, the racing is definitely my strong point. Qualifying never has been, but 500 miles long race, and I'm usually pretty good at surviving, although my elite record this season would not say the same, but, getting to the end and then being there at the end is usually my strong point.
All right, Joe, got about 1 minute left here. You've got sponsorship from MyLaps, Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Kokomo, and Triptacular Memories. Want to just say a quick part on the sponsors that are supporting you for this race?
Yeah, those are my personal sponsors for the year. So MyLaps has been huge in helping out with Indy Elite, and then Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Kokomo. They're awesome partners, and they're excited to continue to be involved. So looking to do bigger and better things and hopefully keep them all involved for the long haul. So definitely appreciate them. Triptacular Memories is just my own little side business where I book Disney vacations and cruises. So anybody wants to go on a trip of a lifetime, let me know.
All right, folks, that is Joe Branch, driver of the number 20 Ludicrous Speed Dallara IR18 Honda and owner of the MyLaps Indy Elite Series. Joe, thanks for joining us tonight, man. Really appreciate it, and best of luck this week.
All right, thank you.
All right, that is Joe Branch, and that's our last guest of the night. Looking over at the timing charts, we've got Silvio Sanchez still atop the board, 38.733 seconds for his best lap. He's turned 72 laps tonight, running down the top 10. A.J. Burton is second. Thales Toledo is third. And Wilson Neto is fourth, three Brazilians in the top four. We've got Zachary Campbell, first American on the board. He is fifth. Dylan Freckleton from the UK and IRL in Ireland, he is sixth. Chad Simpson is seventh. Logan Simmons cracks into the top 10. He is eighth. John Hajek Doggett from Team Talent, he is ninth. And rounding out the top 10 on the track right now, Marco Aurelio Brazil. He is the reigning iRacing Indy 500 pole winner. He is currently 10th. Well, thanks to everybody for listening along tonight. Thanks to our guests, Bradley Walters, Liam Quinn, Mike Jokum, and just a moment ago, Joe Branch. We appreciate you listening along to the second ever airing of Today at the 500 presented by Through Kaiser's Visor. You can catch us again on Thursday night, same time, same place. It'll be at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Go to open-wheels.com/today500 to listen in. And if any of you were following along in today's practice cam, we have a live stream of practice beginning at 3 p.m. on Thursday, just as we do on every practice day. You can find that by visiting twitch.tv/openwheels. For everybody at openwheels.com, I am Tanner Watkins. Thank you for listening to Today at the 500 presented by Through Kaiser's Visor. We will talk to you again on Thursday night. Have a good evening, everyone.